time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. And now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave.
Now I don't hear me. All right, how are you?
I don't hear you.
I don't hear me.
I don't hear you.
This is weird. Okay, it is there, very minimally, and I don't know why. This is just so weird. Everything is all screwed up, but we are here.
We're on the air?
And we
are. Oh, I hear you. I hear you better now.
I get a crank.
Well,
up
what?
As I could do.
Hey!
You know what? It helps when you use the right microphone.
Oh, you know, I've noticed as you've gotten older, David, that things are starting not to work.
Well, you know, the problem is here. You know,
we went to the wrong mic.
Well, we put the band on.
Well,
we were getting feedback, terrible feedback.
First of all, the band came in live like they always do.
Yeah, but
one of the guys was drunk. Oh. And he sat on his guitar and made this ungodly noise.
Oh, is that what it was?
My ears are
feedback. I thought it was feedback.
No, I don't know what that was. My hearing is gone.
What?
Hey?
What?
What? And then you get the wrong microphone.
I did.
I think that was you're playing with me. But my wife says I'm hard of hearing. And then
what?
Then you, hey?
My wife says that too. I know part of it is the male selective hearing. It truly is.
No, it's.
But it's when it isn't that it really bothers me.
You know, being 49 and a half designate.
Yeah.
I've noticed things declining somewhat. You know, they can't find Dr. How Do You Do. I mean, I need is a half more year to make 50.
Yeah, you know, and the crazy thing is, you know, this. About time of the Land of the Midnight Sun's done, it's going to be a Land of the All the Time Dark.
Yeah,
they'll never be able to find them up in the Yukon.
I'm supposed to get an update here in the next couple of weeks, so I'll keep you posted.
Good luck.
I know you're very interested in this.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. My. Okay. I think my eardrum is perforated. Perforated eardrum.
My dad had a perforated.
Oh, did he?
When he was younger, he had an ear infection or something. And they, in order to relieve the pressure, they actually perforated his eardrum.
Mm.
Dumb thing. It was a dumb thing because he had hearing issues the rest of his life.
Oh,
yeah.
That's too bad. What was I going to say?
I give up.
Well, I had a hearing test.
Okay.
I went to an audiologist and had a hearing test. And I was okay, but then it drops off.
Mm-hmm.
And the zone in which it dropped off happens to be in that area where my wife's voice is.
Ah.
It's true. I
agree. Because, you know, a lot of times the problem with you when you lose hearing, it's the higher pitches that it's harder to hear.
Higher
so
and lower.
So the women's
sometimes
voices.
Sometimes she gravels. You know?
Okay.
I don't tell her this.
I won't tell her.
No. That's what it sounds like. What? Oh, my. Okay. What did I do? can you speak a little higher? And I could hear her. Then she's frustrated at me.
Right.
And so she just, I don't know. That means take the garbage out.
Okay.
It's almost.
Now you know.
Now I know. So it's just one of those things. At least I don't go to a different microphone. That's scary.
I can't hear myself. You're on the wrong microphone, Dingleberry.
Well, at least you found that one.
I did. I looked at that and said, there's a good reason for
next
that.
Next week, I'll go to this one.
There you go.
There. That's a nice one, too.
They're all nice ones.
Yeah,
they're all nice microphones.
Very nice microphones.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They've held up well over these over 20 years. Almost 20. Almost 20. Next year will be 25 years.
Yeah. We're almost finished with our 17th.
Wow. Means our show is allowed to drive now. On its own.
Yeah. I mean, after next year, our show would be allowed to vote.
Yeah, yeah.
We needed a lot of more.
We need a lot of votes, yeah.
So anyway. Oh, I'm glad. Juan, I showed you the picture of Juan.
You did.
And he's looking great. Juan Valdez.
Unbelievable.
And the mule. I miss him every week, but I got up with him in Aruba.
Yeah, well.
He was planning some, I showed you some planting of, they're experimenting there with new coffee beans.
Ah.
And the mule was there. I mean, they had a demonstration. Well, you've seen the people. He has a big following.
Yeah.
And this jet, you know, with a big coffee bean on the tail.
Really?
And,
I thought it was the mule was on the tail.
On the other side is the mule.
Oh, the other side is the mule.
And,
okay.
And then they have a coffee bean and a big old Juan on the side of the jet.
Okay.
Yeah. So, he's done well.
So are all coffee beans mountain grown? Because I know that they
was Folgers. No, I mean,
so are all
well, there's not too many mountains
grown.
In Aruba.
No,
that's
no,
why
no.
they're trying to.
No, that's why he's bringing it in. I understand.
Yeah, he's trying a new hybrid.
But, you know, because I always Folgers, always mountain grown,
yeah.
You know, but I think I read somewhere that all the coffee beans are mountain grown.
Well, it has
that's
to
why
be
Wonder
hot,
Bread,
too. I mean, it has to.
That's why Wonder Bread had to take away its slogan of helps build a body in seven important ways.
Yeah.
It's not that it didn't. It's just that it was no different than any other bread.
So they had to stop using it?
They had to stop using
why?
It, yeah.
I mean, if it's true.
It was true. But it wasn't any different than any other bread. That's like saying,
well, this bread has crust.
I don't think anybody would, you know, there'd be some people say, oh, crust, I'd have to cut that off my kid. So,
what I'm saying is, if all breads had crust and they said, our bread has crust, they wouldn't make them stop saying that. But when they said they had seven vitamins or minerals, who made them take that away?
The FCC.
The FCC? The Federal Communication Commission?
No, FTC? Federal Trade Commission. FTC. The Trade Commission. Because it was no different than any of the other breads out there.
Oh, so crust, too.
Is crust, so different. But people don't advertise. We got great crust.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Only the pie companies.
Well,
but.
No. Well,
maybe I didn't Sara Lee does, you know, yeah. Maybe, because nobody doesn't like Sara Lee.
Oh. Well, would that be true? I mean, who knows? Is that true?
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Everybody
but they
doesn't
made,
like
they
something.
Poor Wonder Bread, who's in
like
desperate
Sara
shape,
Lee.
Right?
What's that?
Wonder Bread was in desperate shape. I don't know. Well, they still make Wonder Bread?
They sold out to a non-union company, and they redid everything and with not quite as good of ingredients, from what I understand, from people that tried their different products that they used to buy under Wonder
Bread. So it's underwhelming bread.
Underwhelming bread. Yes. Underwhelming under Wonder Bread. Okay.
All right.
Speaking of underwhelming.
Yes.
We do have the Browns.
Well, what a game. Huh?
That was the weather the great equalizer? Is that what made it so close? The Browns did win.
Yeah, they did win. I mean, both teams had a play in those elements. I don't think it made a difference. The better team at that particular time won. And, I mean, it was a very interesting game. It was 24-17. Amazon or Prime tried to fill in the grid on the football field. It was so snowy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it kind of made it weird looking, you know. But
well, they were also taking shovels along the yard line, you know, and tried just shoveling the 10-yard line.
Classic lake effect.
Oh, yeah.
Because we didn't get it.
Because I kept looking there, and I kept going over my window looking out, and I go back and look, watch TV, and I go back over and look at the window. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Now, they did on the west side of Cleveland. They had some snow there.
Yeah.
And my son is in Strongsville, and they had some snow.
Well, it was just coming right directly south
from the
lake.
Lake, yeah.
And I thought they played a pretty darn good game against Pittsburgh. I mean, they almost lost it.
They had two turnovers towards the end of the game in the fourth quarter and still was able to pull it out.
Well, you know, that Jerry Jeudy did a nice job. I mean, Winston to Jerry Jeudy, he made some huge catches there at the end. And, Winston's going to be – that's the thing against Winston, Jameis Winston.
Will he be gone next year?
Yes. So Jameis Winston, Jameis Winston has always been criticized for being great one game and awful for two. And that seems to be what he's doing here. I was really surprised how bad they played against New Orleans.
Yeah.
I thought maybe that they could have won that game, but under pressure, well, he's a very religious guy. Did you see?
I will not listen to his pregame talks.
I mean,
he's just talking about
the Lord.
Yeah. I'll just do what the Lord wants and this and that. And, you know, this press conferences afterwards are a little less lordy, but less lordy.
Amen. Well, that's fine, but come on.
He refuses to answer questions in the pre-game.
He did. It was always about the Lord.
Yeah.
And I don't know what. That's fine. Is that his beliefs? But it's a football game, and I think the Lord should be busier doing something else. You know, about worrying about Winston.
Well, he is, because that's why Winston gets so many, you know, pickoffs. You know,
I mean, it was always. It's not amusing. You know, some people feel more confident by, you know, associating their athletic endeavors with the Lord. And you see baseball players all the time, and kickers, sign of the cross and things like that if you're Catholic. And, oh, by the way.
Yes.
I just finished reading the book Conclave, which is a movie.
Okay.
Wow, what a book that was. I got to see the movie now.
Okay.
I was raised Catholic.
Okay.
So if you were raised Catholic and read this book, wow, at the end. Wow, wow, wow.
But they always change it in the movie, don't they?
They can't change this part of the movie. No, I won't spoil it, but it was a very interesting book. Anyway.
Yes.
Why did you bring that in?
Bring what in?
The sign of the cross and the conclave. Why did you do that?
I didn't.
I thought you did.
No.
Anyway. So, yeah, he goes about the Lord will direct me, the Lord. Well, that's why they have an offensive coordinator. Not the Lord.
Yeah.
I don't think the Lord really knows a lot about football schemes. He may.
He might.
He may.
He knows all. He knows all. He's everywhere.
He also knows what's going to happen, right?
Yes.
So you would think he'd be very wealthy because he knows what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. And especially with all the betting going on with all this. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he would know right away.
Well, he doesn't use it for personal gain. He doesn't use it for personal gain, you know.
I wish the Lord would tell me the lottery numbers when these huge pots come.
You will use it for personal gain. He will.
I would.
Yeah, you will.
Mean, he doesn't need to. I guess he has all the money he needs. He doesn't need money.
No.
He's the Lord.
That's right.
He's busy figuring out offensive schemes for Jameis Winston. Well, so, I don't want, you know.
So he'll be
that's
gone.
That's his thing. I have no problem with. But
so he'll be gone next year?
Yes.
Because he's the next hope for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, because you got to realize it's going to be at least six games before the anointed one comes back.
He's anointed. He's got all kinds of anointment.
He does.
Anyway.
He's gotten him into a lot of trouble in the past.
Yeah. Or is that ointment?
Yes.
The thing is, you know, it's unfortunate the season for the Browns is practically over as far as playoff hopes and stuff like that, but they played a good game.
Well, the thing is, you know, as much about him as anything else, the defense has been inconsistent. The games that he lost were really lost more because of the defense, not because of the offense.
Well, Garrett had a good game, and they tightened up at the end when they needed to, but and then the offense came and scored, and of course they almost, the Pittsburgh almost came back with very little time left. But anyway, trying to answer your question, in my humble opinion, and it's very humble, humble as humble pie.
Okay. I've never had a piece of humble pie.
It's not very good.
I didn't think so.
No.
It's not. I've eaten a lot of crow. That isn't very good either.
Yeah, I think humble pie is made of crow.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe the stuff crows eat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's bad.
Bad.
Oh. So anyway.
In your humble opinion.
In humble opinion. well, now there's talk, you know, just Daniel Jones, who just got released from the Giants, and they may bring him. I don't know what they're going to do, but for sure – Deshaun Watson's going to be the leading contender to still play. They're paying him too much money. They owe him what, $70 million so more, or whatever, so, ungodly amount.
Yeah.
$90 million. $90 million bucks.
Yeah.
Guaranteed for the next 2 years. So it's not a situation of athletic ability or football acumen. It's a financial decision.
Right. They put themselves in. And they will never admit to it being one of the worst trades ever, not just in the history of the Browns, but in the history of the NFL.
The worst.
The worst.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It couldn't be any worse. I can't think of one situation that was any worse than this one. Because
I remember when Dallas gave up a ton of picks to get Herschel Walker, and he took him to three Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is with Deshaun Watson, and when I was listening to the fan coming in here today, not only is he a drain, but he sucks the life out of the team. That's what one observer.
Really?
Phelps and Baskin agreed. Not only does he not a very good football player at this point in his career, he saps the team. And so nobody's going to trade for him. I mean, nobody.
Not with what he's not proven anything.
No. So you got him. So they may bring somebody in to compete against him. Well, you're going to pay somebody $45 million a year.
And are you going to waste your first draft pick on a quarterback? I mean, everybody says this is not a good draft for quarterbacks.
No. Well, they were talking about Arch Manning, the son of Peyton, I think.
Actually the youngest brother of Peyton, yeah.
Oh, the youngest brother of Peyton.
Right.
Well, this kid's a freshman. I forget where he's playing. He makes $7 million a year in name, image, and likeness.
Yeah.
As a freshman.
Yep. That's almost as much as Zippy makes.
Zippy makes a McDonald's Fun Meal.
Okay. I'd go for that when I was in college.
Yeah. Well, boy, how long? I mean, boy, things have changed. But he's not eligible to come out next year. Somebody clarified that. Somebody was
really?
Saying, yeah.
He used to have a year out, and then you could go.
I think it's two now.
Is it, it could be with the name, image, and likeness, and the fact that the colleges can actually pay you. Maybe that makes a difference.
Well, I'm making $7 million as a freshman in college.
Yeah, I'm not really
upset for life. Plus, my family is loaded.
Yeah.
So he needs another year of experience. But somebody mentioned that, and Daniel. There's going to be quarterbacks available to compete with the first job, but I don't see anybody taking over for somebody who's... I mean, once he's available to play, I don't know when that's going to be next year.
No, because we're talking about 6 games would be the earliest. With this type of injury, the earliest he can possibly be back. It could be another 3 to 4 to 5 games before he's actually
the rust,
back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then we have to knock the rust off. Yeah. It's funny that all these other guys never seem to have rust to knock off.
Well... Well, he needs that PB blaster. And he refuses to take it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to either.
No.
So,
he has an OPB blaster in his contract, I think.
Mm.
Yeah.
Would Winston be back? It's a possibility. I can't say that it isn't. I thought DTR was supposed to be their heir apparent.
He does not have it. Yeah, I'm sorry.
He's just too small. That kid is it looks like one of these defensive linemen could pick him up and break him. He's like a stick.
And he's one of these running quarterbacks more than anything else, I think. And he may have done fine at UCLA. They're a lot bigger. They're a lot bigger than he is.
Yeah.
I don't see him anywhere but being a backup. It's good to have, I guess, as a backup because you know when your quarterback goes down. It's not if anymore. It's when your quarterback goes down. You got somebody that can go in there and continue on with what you're doing until you can find somebody else.
The question that Jeff Phelps raised, and I thought it was a very good one. So you're a free agent quarterback. Do you really want to come to Cleveland to challenge Deshaun Watson knowing that they're going to play him? I mean, why would you want to go to Cleveland if you are a legitimate good quarterback in free agency?
And that's why Jameis came, because he was only a backup anyway.
Well, Russell Wilson and Winston are projects. They're reclamation projects. They, you know, Russell Wilson came from, he had a great career in Seattle.
He did.
And then him and Sean Payton didn't get along in Denver. It was a disaster for both both sides. Then he's done a nice job with Pittsburgh. Now, I would think Pittsburgh would keep him. I mean, there was rumors he's only got a one-year contract with Pittsburgh that Wilson would come in and vie for the starting job again. All kinds of speculation.
Yeah.
But if you're a free agent quarterback looking for a starting job, why would you come to Cleveland?
Well, you would know that you'd have at least 6 games here to prove yourself.
Yeah, but Here's
the one thing I've noticed about Wilson.
Sean Watson. They're going to start him as soon as he's eligible.
Because they're not going to admit that they made a mistake. Right.
Yeah.
I've noticed that he doesn't score as much as Fields does. He leads the team, but they don't score as often. Fields seems to score more points.
Well, Justin Fields came in for a few plays that required,
which moved them again.
Moves them, then they bring Wilson back.
But I'm just saying, but when Wilson was out earlier this year, they had him in there, because Wilson started, then he got injured for several weeks, and they had not really scored. Oh, again, the first game they won without scoring any touchdowns.
Yeah, you Pittsburgh, I don't know how far they'll go in the playoffs, because you can't get to the red zone and not score touchdowns.
Yeah.
Field goal, field goal, field goal, field goal is just not going to make it in the playoffs.
No.
So they got a good kicker, but, and they won 2 games that way.
They have. Two games with just field goals.
So they have a hard time getting into the end zone. And
the other time they won it was field goals and special teams that did.
Yeah. So they're going to have to do something there. So is Wilson a long term, solution for Pittsburgh? I don't think.
I think he may be I don't like to say this way, but diminished skills from when he was in Seattle.
Well, yeah, well, he's in his mid-30s
right
now, and you start getting diminished skills.
You do.
You know how that is.
Yes, I do. I have a lot of diminished. Kind of like my wife. She was upstairs taking a bath. I strolled downstairs, and she had the water coming full blast in the sink, which was half full then, and she left the stove on, and there was nothing on the stove. I think, okay, let's just turn this off and turn this off, and no one will be the wiser.
Yeah. Those things happen.
They do.
They do. Luckily, it doesn't burn the house.
It does not burn. Luckily, it's, not a gas stove. It's electric. Ooh. So nothing on the stove, and, you know, if anything, you burn out a burner. You know, I could handle it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if Russell Wilson leaves the burner on his
stove. I don't know. He doesn't leave the burner on with a receiver sometimes.
No. I don't think he does much cooking. Guy making that kind of money probably has somebody come in and
probably.
Do his meals. Well, you know, he's got a very pretty wife. Right, maybe beautiful wife. Yeah. In fact,
they don't always cook well though.
No, no, but it's good to look at.
Yes, absolutely.
So anyway,
nothing on tonight, honey. Why don't you stand here?
They used to do American Home Insurance or something like that. They used to, when he was, well, he won the Super Bowl.
He did.
I don't know how many more years that he has to go. One quarterback who's gone, should be gone, is Aaron Rodgers. You talk about the diminished skills. What a joke the whole New York Jets system is.
Well, they are so inconsistent. The ownership will not keep, they fired all their general managers and stuff. And again, this is midseason or just past midseason. And he fires, you know, they'd already fired the coach, so they went ahead and fired all the other people now after that. And as we know, you can't have all that inconsistency and ever get better.
No. Well, I think the Jets situation's, believe it or not, worse than the Browns. I mean, as far as
Before we had this administration, which may be done at the end of the season, you never know. But before we had this group of people, they were changing things out every season.
Yeah, that's true.
And we had no consistency, and that's one thing you and I preached for so many of these years, yeah. Especially the Boneheads years,
yeah.
that you know, the only consistent they had before that was Hugh Jackson.
And they kept him.
And he was horrible. He was 1-31.
I don't know. I guess we'll see. We have what? We're 3-8.
Orbs. It says again that exactly when Randolph debuted on Fibber, McGee, and Molly, which would be the most famous radio stopover. It's not clarified in Heavenly Days. The documentation used by the authors may not have answered that question. She was on the show as early as January 13, 1936, episode 40, when she played Mrs. Kuppenheim, or Cuppy, a character which sounds very much in her most famous part, Mrs. Abigail Uppington, or Uppy. From Uppy to Cuppy, huh? A part she played regularly in October of 1938. Other roles on the program included Mrs. Dillingham, that's Dilly Sunkiss Skunk, S-N-K, anyway, Skunkless, Mrs. J. Mitchell Twitchell, Mrs. J. Wadamar Longberry, and Mrs. J. Uppingham Upson. Isabel had a stirring role as Rhoda Harding, I guess it is, a widow who tries to find a new life and her own identity after her husband's death. In the soap Dan Harding's Wife, she was also on the way down home, and the various episodes of Lights Out and the First Nighter, I guess it is, while in Chicago. So the McGees moved their show to Hollywood after their final Chicago broadcast on January 24th of 1939. And Randolph followed them to sunny California. Her second sojourn to the West Coast. Film came at that year in MGM's 1939, The Women, starring Norma Shearer, Joan Crawford, Rosalind Russell. Wow. Thus began a steady stirring of small film parts, nearly 60 in all. Her first full year in Hollywood resulted in 5 films on their own, 20th Century Fox, Gene Autry's Ride, Tenderfoot Ride, Republic, Yesterday's Heroes, 20th Century Fox, Barnyard Follies as Mrs. Uppington, that was Republic, and Sandy Getz, her man, Universal. The next 2 years, which they performed, I guess. Let's see where it is. Overlap, her final years on Fibber, McGee, and Molly were no less busy. 4 film roles came her way in 1941, Small Town, Deb, 20th Century Fox, Mr. Dynamite, Universal, Look Who's Laughing, the second Fibber, McGee, and Molly feature, RKO, and the Corsican Brothers, United Artists. Randolph earned 5 more credits in 1942, Abbott and Costello's Ride'em Cowboy, Universal, Bob Hope's My Favorite Blonde, Paramount, Take a Letter, Darling, Paramount, It Happened in a Flatbush, 20th Century Fox, and Here We Go Again, the second Fibber, McGee, and Molly film, RKO. I gotta stop there. We're not finished with this article yet. Beautiful, though, isn't it? Take care. Have a nice Thanksgiving.
Boy, and a Johnson, said Seema Misra, an assistant
Summit County prosecutor. Mizra said the juvenile, Johnson, and possibly other suspects ambushed Goodenough and stole his shoes. During the encounter, Goodenough was shot 4 times. 2 gunshot wounds in his groin and finger were non-fatal. He was shot fatally in the back of the head and the back, she explained. Carlos had an injury to almost every important organ in his body, Mizra said. Evidence, including testimony from the 15-year-old who was charged in Summit County Juvenile Court, pointed to Johnson and the 15-year-old as the shooters. Mizra explained that prosecutors agreed to the guilty charges because witnesses would not come to court. Witnesses disappear or don't come to court, so we have to make difficult decisions regarding a trial versus a resolution. Jonte Johnson gives different story. Speaking to the court, Johnson said he was not at the ambush site. Instead, he said he was at home when the juvenile knocked on his door after the shooting. It was there he learned of the shooting, he said. He claimed he didn't know anyone died. He said he became an accessory to murder because he let the juvenile inside. Now I'm going to prison because an associate made a very poor decision, Johnson said. During and after serving out his sentence, Johnson said he wants to start a mentoring program for juveniles to stop them from engaging in gang activity. Yes, I've made mistakes, but my life has not even started, Johnson said. Bryce Biocchi covers courts and public safety for the Beacon Journal. He can be reached by email at bbuyakie@gannett.com or on X, formerly known as Twitter, @Bryce-Biocchi. Data helps investors predict retailers' results. Alt data includes info on how consumers behave. Article written by Nicholas P. Brown and Carolina Mandy from Reuters, New York. Heading into holidays, some expect to disappoint. Wall Street investors like Goldman Sachs are using new ways to monitor shoppers' actions and intentions to help determine the season's winners and losers. They are tapping into the quickly evolving field of alternative data to help them predict retailer performance and provide an advantage over other investors. Historically, Wall Street relied on traditional data like earnings reports and company filings with an assist from their well-seasoned gut instincts. Now they can buy intel on everything from credit card swipe data to consumer sentiment reports from an ever-growing number of providers. One example is data firm 100X, which earlier this year began selling its shopper sentiment data to Goldman Sachs. The bank uses the information in equity research and investment banking, according to a Goldman spokesperson. Founded by former Goldman partners Robert Pace in 2012, 100X partners with nonprofits like Habitat for Humanity to measure thousands of individuals' future purchase intentions claiming to get an early read on future financial trends. Supporters of the nonprofits who partner with 100X are asked to fill out surveys about their experiences with the retailers or brands they use, including how likely they are to revisit them. The firm donates $2 for every response it gets. Michael Finnegan, CEO of an alt data aggregation platform called Eagle Alpha that connects data buyers with sellers, said there were about 100 alt data providers in the industry's early days in the mid-2010s. Now there are 2,000 around the globe. They provide credit card swipe data that reveals what different classes of consumers are buying. Insights about consumer behavior based on cell phone geolocation, pre-holiday consumer sentiment derived from surveys, or by scrapping social media sites like Reddit. The data helps investors glean information they couldn't have a few years ago. For instance, 100X CEO Pace said, measuring a consumer's shopping experience shows that the sale is not the outcome. Numbers can reflect a sale, he said, but if a customer leaves a store fuming after a bad experience, she isn't likely to come back. In the big box retail universe, 100X surveys showed last spring that shoppers seemed less likely to return to Target in the near term than Walmart. But in recent weeks, Pace said future intent to shop at Target has been rising. You see an inflection up, he said. There's a contrarian view today. Indeed, shares of Target slid about 20% since the Minneapolis-based retail chain forecast flat holiday quarter sales on Wednesday. Alpha Rock, that's Alpha ROC, founded 3 years ago, combines data sets with interviews with roughly 3,000 people in the United States per day to gauge consumer intentions for the next 3 to 6 months, selling the information to asset managers. Data firm Factus uses credit card swipe data to update its retail sales outlook from week to week, rather than wait for the U.S. Consumer Department's monthly estimates. In the week ending November 9th, the firm saw signs of a dramatic turnaround at TikTok Shop, the e-commerce arm of Beijing-based ByteDance's TikTok social media platform, with a 16.8% increase in average spend. Some retail executives are annoyed with what they consider a systemic problem. Data ubiquity is frustrating, says Dave Powers, board member and former CEO of Deckers Brands, which owns Hoka sneakers and UGG slippers. Data sets like credit card swipes can be taken out of context to paint inaccurate pictures of the state of business, Power said in a phone interview. But even retailers who scoff at the use of data by their investors are using it themselves to measure their own performance. They recognize that the horse has bolted from the barn, said Mark Matthews, head of research at the National Retail Federation Trade Group. If it's out there, you might as well use it. 100X Pace said that as an independent data firm, its relationship with retailers can be a little love-hate. Retailers have a plan, he said, and sometimes our data shows their plan does or does not look so good. Placer.ai uses geolocation data to show clients' patterns and how people move so that a retailer or investor could theoretically tell if a billboard was driving people to a store. Social media site Reddit held a webinar ahead of this year's holiday season to show retailers how it can measure when online conversations about holiday shopping peak compared to conversations about holiday travel, food, parties, or decorating. Firms like 100X and Factus confirm that an uptick in investor clients is driving growth. 100X has tripled its number of investor clients over the past 18 months, Pace said. Factus review revenue has grown 300% since the start of 2023, driven in large part by investors, says co-founder Jonathan Chin. Lombard Odier Investment Managers, a $73 billion asset manager based in Switzerland, is one of many financial firms leaning into alt data. In July, it launched Data Edge, an investment strategy that merges myriad indicators like credit card swipes, digital receipts, web traffic, mobile app clicks, and geolocation data to identify consumer trends and trade stocks using computers. We forgot the weather report, so let's go back and get that. The Akron forecast for today. Breezy with clouds breaking, a high of 44 degrees. For tonight, mostly cloudy and a low of 30 degrees. For Wednesday, a shower in the afternoon, a high of 42 and a low of 32. For Thursday, chilly with snow and rain, a high of 41 and a low of 27. For Friday, colder with low clouds, a high of 32 and a low of 20. For Saturday, mostly cloudy and cold, a high of 31 and a low of 20. The Akron Almanac from Sunday, temperatures high 41, low 34. Normal high 47 with a low of 32. Last year's high was 39 with a low of 26. The record high was 68 degrees in 1931. The record low 7 degrees in 1950. Precipitation Sunday 0. Month to date, 2.63 inches. Year to date, 35.71 inches. Normal year to date, 38.717 inches. So the departure for the year were down 2.46 inches. Barometric pressure 30.01. Average relative humidity 85%. Snowfall 0. Month to date 1.3 inches. Season to date the same thing. Seasonal average 47.2 inches. UV index for today at 10 a.m. 1, noon 1, 2 p.m. 2, 4 p.m. 1, and 6 p.m. 0. Now let's move on to lifestyles, and we begin with the horoscope by Sanctuary. For Aries, for today, an expansive social energy breezes around you. There's plenty of situations for engaging in a harmonious conversation. Taurus, balance idealism and practicality. Growing your finances may interfere with your freedom. Can you have the best of both worlds? Gemini, feeling light as a feather and fancy free, your spirit is buoyant until serious underlying considerations erupt. Cancer, withdraw to reconnect with your core. Taking a spiritual retreat can feel mentally renewing. Leo, in search of creative solutions, get the support of colleagues and friends. Engage the hive mind. Virgo, lucrative career opportunities are flowing smoothly, but is this expansion at the expense of your playtime? Balance may be off. Libra, a wanderlust desire can create tension with your foundation. Scorpio, an internal intellectual exploration may beckon to you today. The Libra moon sets the stage for enriching introspection. Sagittarius, your generosity is overflowing today. Agreeing to do something for everyone who asks, reassess the value of saying yes. Capricorn, taking care of business, the work that is on your plate ramps up. Whistle while you work. Aquarius, leave your comfort zone. If you quell your fears, a new social experience can be fun. And Pisces, there's growth in vulnerability. Is there something on your mind that you want to share with others? On to Dear Abby. Husband becomes roadblock to a redecorating revival. Dear Abby, I've been with my husband for 10 years. For a long time, I didn't decorate our house because I didn't want to spend the money. But for the last few years, I've spent many hours poring over Pinterest. I love interior decorating and know exactly how I want each room of the house to look. The problem is my husband. I once tried to buy a new shower curtain. It was a huge debacle because he didn't like the one I'd chosen. Abby, I have done my homework. How do I convince my husband to give me free rein in decorating? I'm afraid every paint color and every piece of furniture is going to be an argument, and I'm so discouraged, I don't even try. We've had the same curtains, bedding, and dining room table for years, and our house is very ugly. Should I just start making changes without consulting him? Should I sit him down and talk to him? Is it fair of me to not take his preference into account? Signed, Frustrated Creative. Dear Frustrated, by all means, discuss this with your husband before making any changes. Under no circumstances should you make any without consulting him. It would be extremely unfair to ignore his opinion. Some compromises will have to be made. The least contentious way to accomplish this would be with the help of a professional decorator who can take both your preferences into account and help you to blend them. Next letter. Dear Abby, my husband and I have been married for 16 years, together for 22. He's the love of my life, my sunshine and roses. He's a great husband and an even better father. You are probably wondering why on earth I'm writing to you. Well, his teeth are disgusting. They are stained, chipped, and just gross. He is overcoming some self-esteem issues regarding his weight. He has lost a good bit, and I'm super proud of him. But how do I say, great job, but there's still something wrong with you? For the record, his weight means nothing to me. I never pushed him to be slim or buff, but rather to be healthy and have enough stamina to keep up with our kids and get off the CPAP machine. Money and the dental expenses aren't an issue, but he would rather spend extra money doing fun things as a family, making memories and having adventures, which is great. I just wish he could have a nice smile while doing it. Advice? Signed, Not Quite Perfect in Ohio. Dear Not Quite, because your husband's teeth are a turnoff, you are going to have to address the problem. Wait until he is at or near his goal weight. Then tell him that although you adore him, you would find him more kissable if he would deal with his dental issues. Tell him that putting it off may make the problem more difficult to fix. Your family dentist may be able to help or refer him to a good cosmetic dentist. For Miss Manners, family bigot is otherwise a charming and enjoyable person. Dear Miss Manners, my brother is intelligent, educated, well-spoken, and has a responsible job. He is also openly racist, misogynistic, and homophobic, all for religious reasons, of course. To his credit, he never brings these subjects up, but if they do come up, he's not at all bashful about articulating his bigoted views. His response to criticism is that he's just as entitled to his opinions as liberals are to theirs, and he's just as entitled to express his opinions as liberals are to express theirs. He says that tolerance includes tolerance for all viewpoints, including his. That does not sound quite right to me, but I can't exactly put my finger on what's wrong with it. He is otherwise a charming and enjoyable person to be around. At this point, the The rest of the family just deals with it by avoiding these subjects. What do you think we should do? Gentle reader, keep avoiding those subjects. Of course, it is tempting to poke the bear, even though you know how the bear will react. Your brother is presumably a grown-up, entrenched in his prejudices, and arguing is less likely to reform him than to spoil family gatherings. Miss Manners can, however, offer you some comfort. You already making your point effectively by refusing to engage with him when he speaks like that. And second, you were right that hate speech does not deserve the same tolerance as the wide divergence of well-meant opinions. Next letter, Dear Miss Manners, my husband and I have the pleasure of hosting an annual holiday dinner for our family, and we believe that almost everyone finds the event enjoyable. A few years ago, we began inviting a group of my relatives. They had previously celebrated with others, but deaths, sadly, ended those traditions. During our gathering, these relatives sit down together before dinner and do not move about or mingle until it is time to go. They only interact with others as a group and only speak with the individuals opposite them during dinner. We've begun to think we failed to make the event sufficiently welcoming. My husband believes that this year we should promote mingling by using place cards at the dinner table to break up the cable, as he puts it. But I wonder if that will incite general revolt and make the event even more alienating. What should we do? Gentle reader, start even earlier to break up the cable. One of a host's jobs is to ensure that people mix. Miss Manners acknowledges that grown-ups who know one another ought to do that without prompting, but apparently not in this case. So take Aunt Jenny's arm by gentle force and steer her over to Cousin Jason, saying, "You are both avid gardeners and both Red Sox fans, right?" Leaving them together, you scoot over to grandniece Lila, saying, "Would you explain friendship bracelets to Uncle Horace? His granddaughter has dozens, but he doesn't understand what it's about." By dinner time, they will be too engrossed to protest being fruitfully scattered around the room. And now we go to the opinion page from Sunday's Beacon Journal, Sunday, November 24th. Editorial, we have a lot we can be thankful for in Northeast Ohio. Ohio has a tendency of getting overlooked. We're not as big as Texas or as warm as Florida. We don't have the rugged coastline of California or a massive bustling city like New York. And now that we're no longer considered a swing state, our spot in the political arena has been downgraded. But those who live here know the truth. Ohio is a best-kept